Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mint and Matara's Summer Special, episode 13.
13. Hello, everybody. Hello. I am Mint.
And I am Matara. And today, I have a warning for you. I'm still a bit sick, so I might mute sometimes to cough. Sometimes it might get clipped a little bit. I apologize.
Oh, no.
I apologize in advance to the editor as well for this. But yes, I am not doing too hot.
Yeah, you've been coughing. We were talking for a little bit before, as always, as we do. We talk before we record for like 2 hours or whatever, you know, whatever. And yeah, you've been coughing the whole time.
Yeah, it's not great. But you know what is great?
What?
Idols.
Idols!
Topic of today's episode, sweet, beautiful, lovely, amazing Moe idols.
Yes. Actually, when we were in Japan, the one thing that we got to do together before everything went down was go to an idol show together. Yay! Oh my gosh. And it was your first ever idol show, right?
Yep. It was. And it was wonderful. There was so many, we'll get into it in the episode, so many differences between kind of shows that I've been to and concerts that I've been to. And I really want to ask some questions as well.
Yeah.
And just, it was really, really, really fun. And
oh my gosh, this is my cup of tea.
Thank you for taking me.
I'm so glad. Honestly, I feel like if we hadn't gone to that together, like what would we have done? Like we wouldn't have literally any sort of kind of memory that we did in Japan
except being sick.
And you still are. Oh my gosh, you poor thing.
Yeah. No, it was really, really great. I guess we can go from like, maybe we can start from the whole process of, if you are in Japan, how would you be able to go to an idol show? Where do you find tickets? How do you buy the tickets? How does because again, the lining up process was completely different as well as in North America.
Well, I want to ask you something before we get into the meat of the episode.
Yes.
You were in Japan for a couple of days after I left. What'd you do?
I was sick.
Really? You didn't?
Yeah.
You were just sick the whole time?
The last day when you told me that you tested negative, I went and I got tested negative. And Onigiri, God bless her. Onigiri was so amazing. She kept being like, girls, I can come bring you kanji. I'll wear three masks.
Yeah,
it's fine if you have COVID. And we were like, girl, please do not get sick.
Don't
we are
come
fine.
Here.
We are. Don't come here.
We had so many people reach out and were just like, if you want
really
me to
did.
Leave something outside the door and everything. They were so sweet. So
it was
thank
so,
you, everybody
so sweet.
Who like reached out and tried to help
we
us.
We really appreciate
we do.
You.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Finally, she was like, look, Mata, she's like, and I told her, I'm like, look, I still have a little bit of the sniffle. She's like, well, if I get sick now, I get sick now. And you know the worst part? She's sick now.
No way.
But she did say that Onibro got sick a few days before her. So she thinks it's from Onibro because then afterwards.
I think that guy
also
gets sick a lot. When I was there, he
little
was sick.
Man. Sick little man.
Stop being sick. Your weak immune system.
No, but she had people staying over at her house.
Oh, yeah.
And she said that they, and she said that they got sick too, like right around before she saw me. So she thinks it's like people in her house got independently sick from me.
Okay. Not
from me. Yes. I saw her and it was really, really good. And then that night I saw an old friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you could go out just a little bit then.
Yeah. And then I packed and, you know, the worst part is once I got home, I felt worse. Like I got worse now than I was my last few days in Japan.
You know, this was our copium the whole time when we were just like, oh, it's probably the dry air on the plane. But like, what if it was? What if like, you know, you did have like the dry air and stuff and it like kind of made your lungs and stuff not so good?
I definitely think I got worse flying there and flying back than I, you know.
Yeah.
It made me worse.
Yeah.
It really did.
I'm sorry.
Nah, don't be. I mean, hey, things happen. Shit happens. We're here. We did get to see idols. That was the good part.
Are you feeling better at least a little bit, or is it just the cough that's so bad?
It's the cough that's pretty bad. And also, you know, I the show goes on. Tonight, I'm recording some Patreon stuff. I was doing streams. Yesterday, I had a stream and I was doing fine. The last, like, maybe 20 minutes of my stream, I could feel my throat get kind of, like, I could feel myself. You know how frogs, they kind of talk like this?
Yeah.
I was kind of doing that with my throat.
The famous ways that frogs speak. They talk in English.
And jiggle their throat. Well, I know a frog that speaks English.
What?
I know a frog that speaks English.
You know a frog that speaks English? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh,
crazy,
my God.
Like a frog.
Yeah. Whoa, where'd that come from? That weird frog.
Where is the frog?
Invader. Intruder.
Invader frog.
Invader frog.
Mm-hmm. Where were we?
But yeah, your throat.
Oh, my throat. Yeah. I think it's just at this point, I just need to let it heal and I don't know, give it time. It doesn't really hurt, but I gotta keep going. Can't stop, won't stop.
That's the thing is, when I was streaming, there were times like after a couple hours, my throat would actually be hurting. And I've never had that issue before. Luckily I have like a, like Chinese medicine that I, which you should get some of that. It might help with your.
Could you link it to me? Yes. Could you also link it into the Patreon so that everybody sees?
Yes. I don't like saying the name because I'm afraid that.
Oh, you're going to mispronounce it.
Yeah. And I'm embarrassed. So
let me do an episode 13 here.
Yes. Thank you. I get this one, but they also make like, remember the packs that I gave you at Off-Kai, like the tiny one that.
You didn't give me one. I stole one.
Oh, right.
When I went to your room and took pictures.
Here, I'll post it. Yeah, you went to my room and took pictures. Mm-hmm. You saw a snake on the bed.
I saw your snake on the bed. I saw him.
And then I had him laid out every night and in Japan as well.
Yeah, she did. And then every morning he'd be on the floor.
That guy's slippery.
Little guy.
I would get one of those. You can get the first one that I linked is like the big bottle. Mm-hmm. And you just pour it. It's kind of messy.
I like the little stuff that you had. She had it in basically like ready to drink little
packets.
Tubes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nourish the lungs, soothe the throat.
Ooh, I like both of those.
It's so good. And then you can also make it into a tea. I'll put it in like a mug and then I put the hot water and I just stir it around and it's oh my gosh, this stuff is, and it's what like a bunch of like idols use.
Oh, they have herbal candy as well. Is that the one that they use?
Okay, I tried that and I don't like.
No? Don't. How come? Which flavor? Because they have mint, fruit, and apple.
Oh, I don't, okay, so it was given to me by someone? Like they were like, oh, do you want to try, I had never tried the herbal candy version before and they were like, do you want to try it? This is what all the seiyuu use, the voice actresses in Japan. Give it to me. I use it too. But I don't know what flavor they gave me. It did not taste like.
I'm going to get the mint apple one.
I'm going to try it
the mint
too.
Fruit one. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll do get it. The mint one.
Do it. It's mint, fruit, or apple. There's not. Oh, wait, there's a lemongrass. Maybe that's why you didn't like it.
I'm seeing lemon. It says lemon.
Oh, there's also a mint. You're right. There's a super mint. Ooh.
It's only showing me lemon, mint, and original. So maybe I'll get the original because I actually like the taste of this stuff so much. It's so good. It's very like.
The little packs are more expensive on the Canadian website. It's 10 packs for $22. So it's about $2 per packet. Yeah. So I might as well get the big one.
The big one and I actually have it on like a delivery, like it sends it to me every couple of weeks.
Cute. I love that.
Because I use it so much. It's so great.
You use it every day for streaming stuff, huh?
Yeah. I take it 3 times a day.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's like just
I can't get it in Canada at the moment. Darn it. I'll try to go to a store and see if I can find one in a store.
I can bring you some, or if you can't find it, I can bring you some.
You're sweet.
Next time we meet.
I think it's easier if I just try to find it in a store somewhere else in Canada, because then I'd have to bring it all the way back. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really popular because it works so well.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got the tangerine lemon and super mint.
Yummy. yummy. Let me know how
I'm excited. Because
you know how the original tastes. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I liked it. I remember when I was about to drink it, my voice actor friend was next to me and he was like, hey, just be careful. It's really gross. It's really bad. And it was fine.
I was always so nervous about taking it because everyone had always said that. They were like, it is so it's so powerful of a flavor, I guess. And I was like, I didn't know what to expect of the flavor, but it's very menthol-y. It's very, like it a lot, actually.
I like that kind of stuff too. Mm-hmm. Let us know, have you tried this or have you heard of this? Yeah. Because we are curious. I want to know.
We're not saying the name at all. We're terrible. I'm
so sorry.
Anybody who's just listening or like, what are they talking? Okay, I'm going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Ninjam Peipakoa.
I think you did great.
Thank you, Mom.
I think you did amazing. You did the best you could.
This is I'm bearing the embarrassment for the I'll try again.
I should have read it because it has Nin in it, which is one of my favorite bands, Nine Inch Nails. So I should have just read it. Ninjam Peipakoa.
Yeah. That's what it's called.
Let us know who you think did it better.
Please don't.
Oh, it's known popularly as Peipakoa.
Peipakoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There we go. Now you know.
Now, so that's for our audio listeners who can't look at the...
Yeah, we're so sorry. We're like, we were avoiding saying it because we didn't want to mispronounce. I'm sorry.
But it's really great. I love it. I live by this stuff, honestly.
I already ordered my little lozenges and I'll let you know how I like them.
Yay! Mm-hmm. Yay.
Let's talk about the
idols.
The idol. So... Basically, what do you think would be a good first question? How we went to the show or like what is an idol?
Oh gosh. So my intention with this episode is for people listening as well is not to do like a deep history, like anything like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, Mata and I, we went to an idol show together and it was a lot of fun, but it is like a completely different experience from regular concert that you'll go to in North America or, you know. Even like a regular band or I don't know, Japan has such like an interesting band and how do I say?
Entertainment. That's the next thing culture. I want to do. I want to go to a band show because I want to see how different that is.
Because, you know, it's so like similar in that. Did you know that like at Visual K concerts and stuff like that, they also do like calls and like specifically for Visual K, they do stuff with their hands. That's like very.
That I knew. Mm-hmm. Which is so different. And we'll talk about it again because I'm sure most people here, if you either have been to idol shows or you know about the culture or you've probably been to, I don't know, your typical concert in North America or Europe, right? Where you go up to a venue, you buy a ticket. Maybe it's between $15 to $50 if it's, you know, like not a super big artist.
Yeah.
Or it's one of those like Taylor Swift stadium tours or Madonna or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, basically, the thing about buying idol tickets in Japan, though, is so frustrating. There was a show that I wanted to go to, which good thing I didn't get the tickets because I was sick and I wouldn't have been able to go anyway. But an idol that I liked in a previous group, she debuted in a new group and they were having their debut show while we were there. And I really wanted to go. But a lot of shows... In Japan, they need a Japanese phone number, and and what's even more frustrating is if you're just like, oh, I'll just get my friend to get the ticket for me. No, what you have to do is you get the page of your ticket on your phone, and it is a live page, so you can't have it like screenshotted or anything like that. You have to have the phone that. Is associated with the phone number that registered for the ticket. It's just a whole mess. It's just so frustrating. Sometimes being an idol fan, actually not sometimes, a lot of times, being an idol fan is suffering.
It's just suffering and pain.
It is, because so many of my favorite members graduate and groups disband. A group that I was just getting into recently announced their disbandment just today.
Well, we can definitely talk about disbandments later and things like that because in some of my questions, I think we talk about like people who are founding members of a lot of groups, etc. So how did you go about getting the tickets for the show for us?
Luckily with this one, it's just make an account and buy a ticket. It was super duper easy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even think they asked for an address. And if they do, if they ask for an address, I'll put in like a Tenso address that I have. So
what's a Tenso?
Tenso means like forwarding. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. So, it's basically just that where they give you an address in Japan, and if you buy something, yeah, it goes to that address and then they forward it.
Cool.
For you. Yeah. So there's lots of sites.
The main difference at first, I'd say, I think lining up in front of the venue is very normal.
Yeah.
But the main first difference is usually when you walk up into a venue in North America, small or big, you will have merch laid out everywhere.
Mm.
And you can usually purchase merch before, during, after the concert right away. And usually the merch is t-shirts, CDs, what else? Maybe like stickers, keychains,
yeah,
things like
just
that.
Like things like
and I noticed right away that there wasn't any of that, which...
No.
Felt kind of strange. Like, you know, it's an opportunity to make money. It's an opportunity to grow the group name. You have fans coming there. Why not sell them merch, right?
I'll be honest. It really does depend on the event. Mm-hmm. The event we went to was very, very small. Maybe like, mm-hmm, what, 100 people that were there? Mm-hmm.
I think closer to 80, to be honest.
I was going to say very, very small. There are even smaller events that I've been to. But you're right. Like, probably like 80. Mm-hmm. For big festivals and things like that, that is definitely the norm. Like if you go to like a big like Tokyo Dome, Saitama Super Arena, like Makuhari Messe, like those kinds of events will have your merchandise like at all times. So that's not something that's like not something Japan does. But for smaller shows like this one, there's a term that that like is used in Japan called chika idol.
Mm-hmm.
Which chika means underground. So it's underground idol. It's like your smaller idols and things like that. So for chika idol events, they very much focus on having the buppan time being when you buy all the merchandise, which buppan means like goods. It's time, like it's so it's when you go and buy your pictures, it's when you go, and honestly a lot of the times they only sell pictures with the girls.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's very rare to be able to get like a CD to get
I wanted to buy a CD and I couldn't. T-shirts, no CDs.
It's very weird. Even
I
for
wonder
me.
If it's just something that, you know, when you're a small group, like let's say they bring 100 shirts, right? It costs a lot of money to print 100 shirts.
Right.
It costs a lot of money to bring them, to store them, to everything. But like you said, there was 100 people at that show, maximum. Something like 5 groups perform. Some groups only had a few fans in there for them, maybe 5-6 fans.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to bring 20 shirts for 5-6 fans, right?
Right.
But a picture, like it's just, you know how they say like take a picture, it lasts longer? It really does. It's a forever memory. And usually the pictures are small Polaroids, so you can put them and like it's a cherishable memory. And when you get the picture, you get to be next to the idol. You get to kind of talk with them a little bit.
That is definitely their bread and butter. Like getting checkies, getting the Polaroids is like the main thing people go to idol shows for, because you get that time to talk with them. Mm-hmm. You get like that one-on-one interaction. But also like... what was I going to say?
At smaller shows, merch is different?
Yeah. So what we went to was called a Taiban. Mm-hmm. And it was a smaller size Taiban because there was only five groups?
I think groups.
Five? Yeah.
Was there a group after Finger Runs? It's because the main group went back
twice. Yeah, they went twice.
Yeah, okay. So there was 4 groups.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was 4 groups. Taiban is like, it's like when a group of, like you'll have each idol group do like 15 to 25 mm-hmm. minutes of a slot. And so you kind of get to experience a bunch of different groups all at once. And sometimes they go up to like 100 groups. It's like it can get insane.
Whoa.
Yeah, there are some Taiban that are like so long, they last like from 10 a.m until like 9 p.m like
that is really cool though. You really get to discover groups. I mean, I discovered a group I really like there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just really fun. And you know, for some of it, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm because, you know, the bigger the Thai bun, the more expensive it's going to be. So it can go up to like 5,000 yen. And it's like, I'm spending 5,000 yen and I only care about two groups. Like, it can be.
Yeah. Just so we're clear, 5,000 yen is 31 US dollars.
Yes.
But you only care about two groups. But if you love music and it's a 10-hour show,
oh yeah,
you're spending $31 to have a lot of music, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But there's also, it's so funny because like there's like the newer idol fans are less so this, but in the past, like there's a term called DD. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It means dare demo daisuki.
I'm sorry, can you repeat? I coughed. Genuinely, I'm so sorry.
I know. It's so funny. It's called dare demo daisuki, which stands for I love anybody.
And yeah, that's me. I'm like that. I'm like that.
And it was, and it's kind of funny because it's been like adopted into, you know, VTuber culture a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. Sort of like Oshi and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But
where people will support a bunch of different groups, a bunch of different people. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But that used to be like so nowadays it's like people are a little finicky if you like more than one member of a group. Basically, you're supposed to like a group and then one member in it.
You're supposed to like a favorite.
Exactly. But so there are still fans that get like kind of, you like two people in the group. You're not dedicated enough. So I get nervous because I'm like, oh my gosh, in my group, I like two of the girls and I have a pen light for each of them. So, but in the past, it used to be even more strict. So they would be like, oh, you can't like even more than one group. Like you I know. Isn't it crazy?
Which is so crazy to me, right? Like you can like more than.
It's so weird because I'm like, it's music, you know, like I can like more than one band. Like it's such it feels so, I'm glad it's not really like that anymore. Like but in the past it was so restrictive. I mean, obviously people did it anyway, but people would judge you. People would really judge you and be like,
that's so crazy to me. Like, Matara, you like Nine Inch Nails and Muse? How could you?
I know.
You have to pick one.
I know.
And Nirvana? How could you? What do you mean?
It makes it when you think of it, it just seems so ridiculous. But people were really serious about like supporting their favorite group.
And I noticed that because basically like your group that we went to see, it was the first group and then they had the encore show. They were kind of the bigger group there.
Their so obviously they had more fans. Sayonara, Stay Tuned.
Sayonara, Stay Tuned. There we go. And a lot of people had pen lights and a lot of people cheered for them. And then when other groups were playing and singing, they were also really cute, also really good. Mm-hmm. People are already standing there with light sticks. And I don't know, for me, I feel like I kept, you know, raising my light stick and cheering and kind of, but I was kind of the only one. So I stopped because I felt like, oh, I'm not supposed to just be cheering for everybody. It felt that way. And it sucks because weird, I feel that it's kind of different. Like, and again, I say it sucks, but it sucks to me because I'm used to North American shows and I'm used to it. I'm used to, you go to a show and you cheer everybody on.
Yeah.
But I get it also, right? Why would you cheer somebody on if that's not your group? If that's not your favorite group, save your energy for your Oshi.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's just like, it ends up becoming like such a, it feels like there are 100% unspoken rules.
I probably broke.
No, I don't think so at all. I think you were, I mean, the only thing, okay, I'm going to call you out.
Yeah, she's going to call me out.
I'm going to call you out. You were on your phone sometimes.
I was because we were organized, before we realized that we had COVID, I was looking up hospitals to go to because at night nobody was selling COVID tests anymore. So I was looking up hospitals that I could go get tested at. And also we were supposed to go to Fuji Q the next day with a group of people. I was checking on the group chat. Yeah. But you know, when you say I was on my phone, I checked my phone a few times.
I looked around. I think I turned around once and I saw you were on your phone. I was like, oh my, no, I'm just kidding.
But that is, oh my God, I'm such a rule breaker.
You're such a rule.
But again, in North America, that is so normal. And in Europe and everything, like you know, people will get on their phone very often.
Yeah. Which is so funny because like that is a huge, or not a huge, but that's like a no-no. But during MCs, people will like talk over the girls and I'm like, shut Shut up.
Right?
Why aren't you talking? Right? It drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. Even I'm like, why are you talking over them? But
I definitely, for like the light stick stuff, sorry, the cheering stuff, I remember thinking it was a little bit odd that you could see that people were like kind of enjoying the music and vibing to it, but they would not even like raise their light stick or would not kind of move their body more if it wasn't their favorite group.
I think
when it was their favorite group, they went all out.
I think it's because in Japanese, like in idol culture, like first of all, like having a pen light of like, if you're not familiar with a group, you don't know, you're not going to know what color to change your pen light to. If you're not familiar with a group and you're just like, I don't know any of these girls, like, sure, I like their music. I'm listening to them right now. I think they're cute, but I'm not familiar enough with them to pick an Oshi right away. Like, you know, some people could be like, I'm not just going to change my pen light to green because then maybe the green member will then think, oh, they're really into me, you know, stuff like that.
Wow, that is such a different cultural thing, because I feel like if that was a thing, so for example, when we went to, you know, kind of a VTuber concert in North America, people change their pen lights, like whoever is on stage, you change the pen light to their color to support them.
But right? these were groups of girls, so it's just like, say a group comes out, it's of 6 different members, they're each a different color. I don't know a single one of them. I mean, I could maybe randomly change my pen light to blue, I guess.
Would it be rude to then just have it on white and cheer for that? If none of them are white?
People just don't do that.
I have to say, it's interesting.
Yeah, people just don't do it. So there sometimes are group colors, like a overall color that fits a group. Like, for example, I'm thinking of a group called Sweeney. Their group color is blue, but each member has a different color. They just don't advertise, like their uniforms. See, like when you saw all the different groups, like you would know which girl is blue, which girl is yellow.
Because like, basically like each girl was typically color coded, except I think Finger Runs, they all had black and orange.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were not color coded.
Mm-hmm. But not always do like idol groups focus on the colors. Like it's easier like for branding and like, you know, stuff like that, but some groups don't make it a huge huge deal for it. So there was something else I wanted to say. I can't remember.
Something else that I did wrong?
No.
I'm teasing.
Everything. My Taraka.
I do have to say this. So you bought us the kind of prime tickets. You bought us the more expensive tickets. And it was kind of funny that it was just a rope?
Yeah, there was just a rope.
A little rope. And you just walked in. And I just know that in North America, nobody checked. We came in and honestly, I think it was the right amount of people because we were like, we had the right amount of space. There's usually a little bit of space that is reserved. Mm. And later on, as the show kept going, more and more people came to the show.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to sneak into the front.
Nope.
So the people that bought the front tickets were the people. And just so we're clear, it's so easy. Like I went to buy a drink and then I got back in.
Yeah.
I just know that if this was North America, that little VIP area would have swarmed to the front.
Yeah.
People would just instantly swarm to the front and push each other and like, no.
Yeah.
No. That's another thing at idol shows. People typically have, it's almost like a workout class where you have a little bit of space between each other. So people can do wotage and calls and everything.
Part of me wishes that I want to take you to another show where we go in the back, because in the back is where all the crazy shit happens. Like it's where everybody, it's where people like start going really ham and like, you know, actually doing wotage and stuff because there's more room in the back, you know. They go for the music. They're not like really watching the show. And then afterwards, like sometimes they'll get their pictures and everything. But it's like, it's just like always a group of guys that are just like crazy. And you could hear them behind us, especially for
I could hear them. Yeah.
So in the front is really great because you're close, obviously. You get to see the idols and you get the fan service. But in the back is super fun too.
Oh my God. One of her Oshis winked at me and I felt it. I felt it. Actually, I blushed and I looked down.
It was Rui.
Like,
was it the red member?
Yeah, the red one. She knows how to work a crowd.
Oh my God, she is so That's how she got me. I ordered some letters from them. They do monthly letters that they mm-hmm. Take a checky and write a little message with it. And mm-hmm. I got mine and it was just like, "Oh, I'm so lonely without you being here in Japan." And I'm like,
I love it. No, she did good. We can talk. Could you link your groups, the groups that were there?
Oh, yeah.
So your first group was?
Sayonara, Stay Tuned.
Mm-hmm.
I will
be honest. The second group, I don't remember them that much. They were, they were amazing and they were hardworking. But I think the other groups stole the show a little bit more for me. The third group was something like Shinbu Kitazawa Monsters, I think, or something like that.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe. It was.
And the fourth group was Finger Runs.
It was.
Which was my favorite.
Satori Monsters.
It's because they were from Shinbu Kitazawa.
They were from Shinbu Kitazawa. I'm surprised you remember that.
Of course. I thought they were really nice. I liked them a lot. I thought they were really sweet, cute girls. They were dressed kind of almost like 70s, 80s style.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had colors and everything. And we'll talk about it more too, because I feel, it's very different. I feel like in North America, when you are a great singer or a great something, like you get a lot of attention and a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But here, I feel that, for example, I think it was really noticeable in the Monsters group where the kind of the main singer girl, she was in purple and she sang most of the songs. She had by far the best voice. And she just didn't have a lot of people cheering for her, didn't have a lot of pen lights. And then another girl that, for example, she wasn't dancing too crazy. She wasn't singing too crazy. She looked, she was having so many fans and so many people were supporting her. And it just,
Sorry, I'm looking up the groups.
The groups.
I'm posting pictures of them.
And again, this is, by the way, just so we're clear, I know I probably don't have to say this, but no hate. It could have been a day that maybe her fans weren't there, or could have been another day. It could have been, frankly, her concept was kind of like goth princess, whereas the other girls were more cutesy. And maybe that's just more the fans of the group. Anything can happen.
It's very hard to tell the popularity of a group at especially these kinds of events, because there's so many different factors that can kind of run into why some fans can't be there. Obviously if it's they can't afford it, whatever. But it could be there was another event going on that was way bigger and those fans went to that instead. Or it could be literally it was on a work night. Idol shows will be on a Wednesday night and you're just like, that is so... Even Wednesday in the middle of the day, it'll be 12 p.m. and I'm like, who is able to make it to this? I have no idea.
I didn't know that it was in your group one of the last shows for one of the girls, I would have thought she was so popular because everybody was cheering her on and doing so much, but because it was one of her last shows.
Well, right? she's leaving in September.
Oh, but sorry, yeah, not one of her last, but she was leaving. So
I
saw that without knowing that she was leaving, I would assume, oh, she's so popular. But it's also, she's leaving, so everyone's giving her the extra love, the extra support.
Well, that's also not the case entirely, because she was just so, she was always so popular like that.
Ah.
Yeah. People have always really loved her, so.
She was very cute. Beautiful.
She's been an idol for a long time, for over 10 years. So, she's
gotten a lot of fans.
Yeah. She's really garnered that fan base.
Something else that I felt was a really big difference that, so in North American shows, whether it's one band or many, many bands or a singer, they tend to talk to the audience a lot. They tend to do a lot of crowd work between every song. It's like, what's up, New York? How is everybody doing tonight? Are we having a good night? And I noticed in Japan, I kind of wish the girls talked more. They had a little segment of talking at the end, but basically they came on stage, just said the name of the song.
Yeah.
And then sang, seven songs in a row. And then at the end said, blue, and this is my name. Green, this is my name. And then left.
I mean, I think it's because, you have, each group had 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's really get it in, show your stuff with your music and get out.
I do think sometimes in North America, because our culture is very, you know, we have a tip oriented culture where it's, how's your coffee today? How are we doing? Very small talk. I do think that's excessive. And I wish we did a little bit less of that. But that being said, I do kind of wish that the girls just said a few more things, because they're so cute and I love them so much. But maybe because they're not saying as much, then it makes you want to go buy the checky so that you can talk to them.
I think that's the case, right? Too. I think that's 100%. Yeah, like you get the interaction. And like I said, when they do MCs, people are talking over them. So it's really just like a, like, do the music, be cute on stage, and then leave, and then get your pictures later with them. So, because there were some groups that, like, wouldn't even pause between songs, like, for anything. They were just like, song.
It was just seven, and especially my favorite group now, I love them, Finger Runs. They were jumping and dancing on stage. Like, they were going crazy on that stage. Crazy. And just, the girls were sweaty after.
Like, oh my God, yeah.
Sweaty.
And they were, their costumes were like long black sleeves, long skirts. I was like, these girls are probably so, like, uncomfortable.
They were jumping.
I told you before, but I had seen them once and I knew that you were going to like them.
Of course.
And when I saw that, but when I had seen them before, it was just the two of them. It was the girl with the goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other blonde girl that was there.
And it was just the tallest one.
Yeah,
I think,
the
right?
tallest one. Mm-hmm. It was just the two of them. I think the other girls might have been sick or busy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, you're going to love them, Attar.
Yeah. For anybody that wants to look up their music, it felt very kind of like 90s grungy alternative new metal-esque.
So idly.
Mixed with idol stuff. It reminded me of, like, if you like K-pop, there was this band called Dreamcatcher did very, like, Japan-sounding stuff. It was if Dreamcatcher had a more grungy industrial kind of sound.
Yeah, like, not quite punk, but...
No.
But, you know...
Just gritty. I think gritty is, like, the right word, right?
Yeah, I think so, too.
But, again, it's still very idol, and I just also really love it. I think... Don't get me wrong, I love the cutesy idol dances. I love them. But it was just so refreshing to see these girls just jumping on stage. Like, honestly, it felt like an aerobics class. They were just jumping on stage. And one of the things they kept doing that I thought was really cool is they kept almost lunging at the audience quite often. The craziest part is the audience wasn't fazed. No. I was like, oh my God, if she trips, like, she's falling into the audience. Like, the girls were, when they would come up front to sing or to, like, do something, like, it felt like a rock show.
Yeah, they were right in front of you.
And these men, like, right in front of them just weren't fazed. I'm like, man, I'd be, oh.
I don't know. I think it's because this is just so normal. You know, like, to first have that kind of closeness. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, when we first talked about, like, you were like, why aren't they more popular? Like, they're so awesome. And I was like, because, you know, so in the past, it was so standard, typical, like, AKB48 style, cutesy, traditional idol. Then back in, oh gosh, I can't even tell you, 2011, 2012... around that time, you know, there was a group called Beast that got really popular. Their company is WAC. And, like, they kind of coined, or rather kind of started, the term of alt idol, like this alternative idol like thing. And, you know, they popularized it. And from there, like, all idols took over for a super duper long time. Like, they were the norm. Like, you would, like, every popular group was this, like, alternative, like, punky or grungy, rocky, gritty style of idol. But now we're cycling back because it was cutesy. Yeah, because it was so oversaturated of just, like, you know, these alternate idols. Now we're kind of cycling back to the cutesy traditional being, like, the more popular. And you see that especially on TikTok, which is, like, so funny, because there's a bunch of, like, traditional idol groups that are getting popular from TikTok, and their music is becoming, like, dance challenges and stuff like that. And so, like, you see that with, oh my gosh, now my brain is not gonna, why can't I think of anything right now?
It's okay. But if you remember it at the end, you'll let us know.
Yeah, I'll look it up right now. But mm-hmm. yeah, so just that kind of stuff, that kind of like cycle. But I mean, they're also fairly new. They were what, like a year old, this group, I think, or 2 years?
I think a year. Formed December 2022, so like a year and a half.
Okay. And 2022, I think, is when like Japan just started loosening their stuff on COVID. Mm-hmm. So kind of was like a hard time probably to...
Yeah, I'm sure. So this actually follows into what I wanted to say, because previously you mentioned that one of your idols, she, the one that is graduating in September, her color was orange in your
red
group. She, the orange one is graduating.
No. Oh, well, she's graduating too, but red and orange are both graduating.
Oh, yeah. The one that you mentioned was doing it for 10 years is the orange one or the red one?
Oh, both of them.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought, my bad. But basically, so one thing I want to bring up is when I looked up Finger Runs, right, the group, I looked at the members and everything. And basically, one of the founding members, Ogasawara Yui, she is super cute. Let me link her here. She was just like gummy smile. I think she was the smallest, like the shortest member. And she was just jumping on stage. Incredible energy. Like, oh, my girl crush.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Fruit Zipper was the name of the group that I was thinking of.
There we go. But the craziest part is she is currently 22 years old, like as of now. Mm-hmm. And she has been a founding member of three groups.
Yeah.
And there was also COVID. So there was a certain amount of time where she wasn't doing shows and things like that.
No, probably.
How young are you starting to be an idol? How, you know, you said some of your girls have been in the industry for 10 years. How are they then kind of, I don't want to call it Frankenstein, but quite often, you know, they're going to take members and like, for example, your group, two members are leaving, they're adding two more members, but the group goes on. How does that work?
I mean, idols can start like so young. It really just depends on the person but I think a pretty regular average is like 16 or 17 to start. But like some will start at like 12, you know, like some will start like crazy, crazy young. And you know.
And it was like, I think the show started at what, 8 or 7. And then by the time they were done, it was like 9. And then the checkies and the photos and the everything. So it's a late time to be out.
It is, especially
as a 12-year-old.
I know. Well, actually, there's like laws in Japan where 12-year-olds can't work past, like a certain age can't work past a certain time. So it'd be really funny because like on TV shows, I don't know if this is especially just, maybe the law is just for TV. Actually, I'm not an expert, you guys. I'm really sorry. But especially there would be like some young members in like an AKB48 or something, and you would see them leave like during mid-show because they would have to go home because they weren't allowed.
It's the same thing in K-pop where for big award shows, certain idols, I think it's under the age of 19 or 18, would have to leave before 10 p.m. Like 10 p.m. is, they're not allowed to be on TV after 10 p.m.
Wow, that's kind of old too. That's
I think maybe it's 16. Maybe somebody can correct it for me.
Yeah.
Because at one point, like in second gen of K-pop, there was a lot of groups where they had one member be 19. And then the other four or three members be from 12 to 13, 14.
No.
So they basically had like the leader be older and then everybody younger. So
the leader's left. Everybody else dips.
It's just the leader like sitting there.
All by herself.
Yeah,
this is my group.
Yep.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like so you start, what happens? Like your group disbands. How do you get put into another group? Is it in the same company? Why? Because I feel like in K-pop, an example to other idols. In K-pop, it very rarely happens that a member gets replaced. Usually in K-pop, a member will leave. And you can see that with even really, really big groups. Sujin left G-Idol. So G-Idol was a 6-person group. She left. Now they're a 5-person group. It's very rare to add a member. Red Velvet were a 4-member group. Mm-hmm. And then they added this member Yeti as a 5th member, maybe a year in. That is Yeti.
Like
Y-E-R-I.
Yeti. Okay.
Yeah, Yeti. They added her a year later, which was very kind of unusual, but typically members will leave a group.
I want to be more an so idol named and not Yeti.
Hi, everybody. I'm Yeti. But they typically don't get replaced. And you see it in North America as well. Like in North America, musicians will get replaced, right? You'll get a new drummer. Sometimes you'll get, like, if it's a band, you might get a new singer.
But that's right. Rare,
like, I know it is. Like, for example, Nightwish, one of my favorite bands, they replaced their singer 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Times you'll have, Nightwish has different singers. Mm-hmm. Tarja, Annette, I forget the other one.
They don't matter.
But they do. It's just, no, just stop. names. But they do it also in groups where they'll replace a drummer or they'll replace, a bassist. But I'm thinking boy groups and girl groups, right? Mm-hmm. When, sorry for this example, Zayn left One Direction. They didn't add another member.
You're right.
They just kept going. Mm. And I feel like that happens a lot. Like I know Camila Cabello was in a group. I don't know which group. But when she left, they just continued without her. So how come in Japan, it's like your group lost 2 members and instead they're just adding 2 more members to an already existing group? How are they doing this?
Honestly, I can't tell you like why they do it, the difference between in K-pop where it's like you lose a member, that's it. How do I explain it? Like maybe in K-pop, and you can correct me if this is not the case, it's like that the group is just those members. Like you cannot imagine anyone else in the group. And maybe that's the image that I have and has been formed because they don't typically add new people. Like in Japan, like there are some groups that I'm like, seriously, if someone graduates, like I cannot expect someone else to replace them or but
in Japan there's groups where every member got replaced.
Has happened.
The group continues though every single member got replaced, which like is that still the same group or is the group like what is the group, right?
I know it's really weird because usually that does not work in their favor. There have been for example, like Yurumeru More, You'll Melt More is like they're a completely new group and their popularity is just not what it was back when it was like Yonapi and Ano and everybody, Chiffon is what I was thinking of. So it's just, like I said, I can't really tell you why. Maybe it's just more normal. It's just what they've always done.
And just so we're clear, they still add members to groups. And I know people are in the comments are going to be like, what about this group in Korea that added a member? Yes, but it is so much less common.
It's very common in Japan. In Japan, you'll have a color
and you just, okay, you're this color, you're this now. And have fun.
I think it's, I don't know. Like, I think maybe it's because back with Morning Musume and AKB, they would have kind of generations that they would introduce. So it's just so maybe it started then where it's Morning Musume had first generation, second generation, third generation. And, if someone left from the first generation, I mean, you still had all those other generations were left. And it's kind of the same with AKB, first generation, second generation. But, if someone left from third generation, you still have the members left from first generation and everybody after that. So it could be that it was normalized in that regard where it's so-and-so left, but we have all these other members that keep coming in. I can't say that I truly always agree with it because I also agree that if all the members of a group disband, and this is just my personal opinion, but if they all graduate, but the company wants to keep the group, come on, just
make a new, make a new group.
Just make a new group. You're still under the same company. So if it's a song thing, you could always do covers of the old songs, of the other groups and stuff.
But I think, once you said that, I think it's because they're trying to leverage the fan base.
I think so too. I think that's also a big thing of it. But it usually doesn't work because, a lot of fans will become, I will be a fan of a group, but ultimately I'm a fan of of my Oshi in that group. And more than once, my Oshi.
My Oshi Trent Reznor.
What?
My Oshi Trent Reznor. So, sorry. In Nine Inch Nails, basically the thing is Nine Inch Nails was just one guy.
What?
Like he hired people. Yeah, Trent did everything. Like he hired people to like do drums sometimes and do stuff, but he did everything. Until like 2014 or something, where he added a second member, like permanent
member.
But until then, like he was always just like, so I could be like my Oshi Trent Reznor.
He's first generation.
Matt Bellamy is my
second
Oshi.
Generation.
Yeah.
But
oh damn, my Oshi died.
Oh,
Kurt Cobain.
I thought you were gonna say Trent.
No, he's still alive and kicking it. He's still alive and kicking. I'm gonna start using idol terms for rock bands.
I do it all the time. No, I do.
It's amazing.
I do idol terms for the dumbest stuff. I'll be like, "This is my Oshi restaurant. This is my Oshi fast food chain." I'll be like, "Yeah, Taco Bell is my Oshi." Or there's like a YouTube channel I watch of some guys that review movies, and I'm like, "Yeah, Mike Staclasa from Red Letter Media. That's my Oshi."
I love this so much.
It's funny, but
sorry, I interrupted you while you were talking. So
no, it's okay.
Yeah, you feel that if a lot of members, I feel if all the members leave, I feel like
the vibe
the
is
essence
just
of the group
different.
Changes.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think maybe one or two members leaving, the vibe, like the group is still the group, and I'm not against adding members either. I don't think adding members is bad.
No,
but again, if like you're adding members all the time or changing members, but again, it worked for AKB.
Well, I mean, until it hasn't anymore.
Yeah. But that was also, but they also had this system. And like, there's a group that I think is heavily influenced by AKB in K-pop called NCT. And the whole point with NCT is that they're like seven, or maybe it's 17 that I'm thinking of. I'm so sorry. But they basically like, they have their concept that members will eventually leave and new members will come in. And I think it's because they're trying to kind of keep the name and the fame, but then kind of get fresh blood in and out.
Well, the thing, this is what happened with AKB's, I wouldn't say downfall, but like what made it kind of hard for them to be as big as they are or big now with, I mean, and that's, you know, not including like the rise of K-pop because that.
That was huge.
That's a huge reason why like J-pop is not as popular, you know, especially with girls in Japan and stuff right
now. I mean,
now,
look at me. I used to be only into J-pop and J-rock. And the last like years, I was only into K-pop. And I'm only now getting back into Japanese Vocaloid and stuff.
Yeah.
But for years, like I was a target audience.
Another thing that kind of made it hard for people to continue with AKB is they had the group, but they had a subunit, that's not the right word at all, but they had a selection of girls that were the most popular called the Kami Seven.
The God Seven?
Yes, the God Seven. And like they were the girls that made the group. Like they were the faces of the group. If you saw, they were all over TV, variety shows, commercials. Like they were, and like in every music video, they were like the top, like they were the front facing girls. And I mean, AKB kind of made that themselves because they held elections every year. And
yeah, like, I remember that. Yeah. We're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. They always did it was always a popularity thing.
Exactly.
Always
a popularity thing. But as the top seven girls started leaving, people were not so invested in the new girls rising up. In some cases they were like, you know, but now like nowadays it's much more difficult is what I'm trying to say. Like not to say that like people don't know who the members are nowadays. I don't because I don't follow them anymore. But that's just my personal experience. But like, you know, everybody would know who the Kami Seven were. Like there's no other, like after the Kami Seven, there was no other new Kami Seven that kind of like...
I get it.
Yeah.
But this is also, okay, realistically, sometimes that's just the changing of the times, right?
Right.
Like band really stays popular forever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always going to be a new thing. It could have just been, like you said, it was kind of the end of their rope. They had a really big super group of the seven girls that then they left and K-pop was on the rise and people got into different things. It could have just also been that.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of factors because they also had like rival groups that popped up, even though they were produced by the same guy. They were considered rival groups that also became more popular than them. Mm-mm-mm-mm. So, you know, there's just a bunch of factors. But what I'm saying is when certain members graduate from a group, like, and this has happened to me before, when my Oshi has graduated from a group before, I don't care about the group anymore.
Really?
And it doesn't happen always, but maybe.
See, this is where I'm like the DDD, where I loved Sojin in G-Idol. I still then kept following G-Idol and liking G-Idol.
It's hard because there's sometimes like I become so attached to a certain member and I do like the other members, but like when my favorite member leaves, they're like, I'll just be like, oh, it just doesn't feel the same without them anymore. And I feel a little more disconnected. And so
I guess if it's like your favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for me, right. I got obviously like I got into GACKT when he was already out of his band and he was doing only his solo stuff. But I feel like if I had been following Malice Mizer when GACKT was in it and then GACKT left, I would have just stayed Oshi and GACKT, right? I would not have stayed with the group. I say this, but like, I don't know.
It's such a complicated thing too, because in my brain.
Same thing with Buck Tick, where I feel like I probably, if Atsushi Sakurai ever left, God may he rest in peace, I probably would have stopped Oshiing the group because the front, but that's, I feel like with a lot of Visual K bands, like the front man is kind of like
the person,
the full show. Yeah. So it's a little different. It's almost like a soloist with a band.
I get that. I get, oh, okay. I get what you mean. But yeah, like it's, and I am a type of person, like there are some people that will like a group if they think the members are cute and there's, you know, but for me, I personally have to enjoy the music to Oshi a group because I'm just like, if I can't get into the music, why am I going to go see them live? You know, like I'm not going to spend money to stand there and be like, this kind of is not good, but like, this is not my thing. But
I am curious. Oh, sorry. No, I thought you were done. I was just going to say,
like, so it's not that it's like complicated for me because I'll still like a group and I'll be like, I still enjoy their music. But without my favorite member there, I'm just so sad. Like, I'm just, I think it's because I'm so invested in that member. And this is how a lot of fans are. Like, you become so invested that it's like, yes, I still want to, I support the group as a whole overall, but like, you know, when I went and got my checkies, I got checkies with two girls. I didn't get checkies with everybody.
Yeah, with everybody.
Yeah.
We are so different. I am curious for the audience, like, how do you feel? Are you more on like the me spectrum or the mid spectrum where for me, for example, I'll give you this example, Blackpink, four members, right? If one of the members had left of Blackpink, even if Jennie had left in Blackpink, I would have still listened to Blackpink. And I think that way about a lot of groups. I think that way about a lot of, especially we're talking idol groups, right? Because it's a little different when it's like the front man of a band.
When you're the
front man of a band, you're a little bit more like the essence of the band, as much as I hate to say it. But I guess for me, I always look at the product a little bit more than just that.
Like I'm focused on the individual person's success. That's so interesting
that you really do. You really, really do.
Yeah. And so,
which is again where the whole Oshi culture comes from and everything. Exactly. Like that's and this is why then if you have an Oshi and then the group disbands and your Kami Oshi or your Oshi goes into another group, you will follow them. That's the person that you really like.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I have a spicy question for you.
Okay.
I know a place where the grass is really greener. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
No place.
So sometimes I think
I'm scared.
Some groups may be put together kind of, you know, ragtag willy-nilly. And I think sometimes a member leaving a group makes the group more cohesive.
Oh.
What do you think?
I'm trying to think of There have been situations where someone has left.
Did you just read what I wrote?
No, hold on.
Is that okay? I thought that's why you paused.
Oh my God. Shut up. Sorry, I cannot say that out loud. Oh my my God. Well, so I don't know. I'm trying to think, but there have been so many situations where someone will leave and the group will blow up. And I don't think it's because the person left,
become
though.
Popular. Destiny's, yeah. Destiny's Child.
Wait, that happened?
They had four members and then one left and then they blew up.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. My parents would always tell me this story of my my dad was in a band with my uncles. And apparently,
oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. And apparently one of my uncles, he was a drummer. He was a drummer for a famous band in the 80s, but before Ooh. They were famous. So after he left, they got really big. They like got super duper popular, like worldwide popular, like after he left.
Isn't there a drummer where that happened, where he got kicked out of it's not Megadeth.
I couldn't tell you the band, right? I can't remember right now. I'd have to ask my mom.
No, I'm trying to remember. But there is like a band like that where the drummer basically like didn't get in. Was it Metallica that they had somebody leave? Hold on. Now it's going to be like annoying me. I think it was like Metallica or Megadeth. If somebody can remind me in the comments, where basically, yeah, like the drummer got kicked out and he basically made another band that ended up being super famous, but not as famous as the first band. Oh. And he always felt like a chip on his shoulder, but he made like one of the most famous bands anyway.
Oh, well then.
That is just so funny. Your poor
he's
uncle.
He's being greedy. I know. I don't even know if it's true. I would have been like pulling my leg, but they were like, yeah, he was friends with what, or like, you know, knew them. And then he left the band. And then a few years later, they like got crazy popular. And I'm like, wow.
But also I think few years is a long time, right? Like I'll be honest. If I'm in a band for 3 years and then I leave them for 3 years and then they blow up, whatever.
Yeah.
If I leave a band, if I'm in a band for 10 years, I leave and then they blow up the next day. Screw you guys, right? Like that is.
What's wrong with me? Is that oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Actually,
my God,
banana
you need to send
there.
A screenshot. When we were in Japan, we only used LINE to communicate. Well, not only, but we used LINE to communicate and she would always send this little
send
banana
it to
going.
You, and then I'm going to screenshot it.
I love it. Oh my God, I haven't checked LINE in a little bit.
Oh, I see your messages about girl. Where's my banana sticker? He is my Oshi. That's why I say he's my banana.
I love him.
What's wrong with me?
But I feel like sometimes a group can be kind of pushed together very quickly and be a little mismatched. And I do think that sometimes like a member leaving can really help with a group's chemistry. And you know, probably. It doesn't mean the member is bad or it doesn't mean the group is bad. It's just some people vibe better together. But, you know, I was thinking about that because a friend of mine has, you know, felt that way herself. Mm. Very good friend of mine.
I see.
Yep. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome if, you know, you leave genuinely, like if you leave a place where you feel you're not fitting in and they're successful, it's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there are also cases of both. So like where a member will leave, like some groups are held on by one member.
Yeah. If that member, the glue, if that member leaves,
it's
the group
over.
Is done. I agree.
And that
agree.
Happened. That happened to a group called, by DVL. I almost said DHL. Rev from DVL was a group a long, long time ago. And one of their members, and they've had tons of members. So many members. Like if you look them up, like they have a bajillion members. But one of the girls blew up because a picture was taken of her and it went insane on like Twitter. Like she was called like the 1-in-1,000-year idol. Like,
oh my God.
And so because of that, like people really started paying attention to the group because she was just so beautiful. She was so cute. Like she just was so, like in the picture, she looked perfect. And it's just like, how does she, oh my God, how does she maintain that look when she's just, you know, when she's in motion. And, but once she left, the group like completely fell apart and they just disbanded. But if anybody doesn't know, you might know the name now, Hashimoto Kana. She is a super duper popular actress now. Like, she is in so many things.
Oh, she's so pretty.
I know, she's gorgeous.
She's really pretty.
I feel bad because she was my Oshi.
What's wrong with me? Sorry, you just linked the banana at like the perfect time.
She was my Oshi in Rev. I was like, she's so cute. Like, she also became my Oshi, and I was like, sorry. I'm sure everybody
she is
else.
Very cute.
I really like the music from Rev too, so I was sad. I was like, dang. But here I mean, she just outgrew the group.
She Motokana. That, so again, I kind of have more experiences with this with K-pop, where that also tends to happen in groups where one member typically is the star and they shine. So for example, Hyuna, after she left this group called Wonder Girls, she was basically put in the center of a group called 4MINUTE. And it was basically Hyuna and the girls, right? And again, if you're the most popular member, there's a lot of resentment between the other members, but also, you know, without you, there kind of is no group.
Yeah.
Even though everybody is talented and amazing, you need. And the same thing happened. There was a group called Miss A, where Suzy was just the most popular member by far. And sometimes it feels like certain groups are held on by that one member. And eventually, you know, the member maybe wants to pursue acting.
Yeah.
In both Hashimoto Kana's case and in Suzy's case, they pursued acting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think she just, you know, outgrew the group. And
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised too if maybe, and this is just pure speculation, so don't, I know nothing, but I would not be surprised if like there was pressure from other members who like were jealous of the, you know, like it's hard. It's really hard when, you know, and because bullying does happen.
Of course.
In these types of groups, not everybody is like all rainbows and sunshine. Mm. And so I would love to imagine that all my groups are getting along, you know, but. And what else happens? What'd you say?
Envy. You can be super happy and super great, but, you know, if you go to a show and you're somebody that maybe rehearses your dancing and you're singing 12 hours a day, and another girl comes in, she's new, maybe doesn't rehearse her dance or singing, and she has, you know, five times the fans, you might feel a little bit like, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I get that.
Like, you know, with my group, the Red member, how she's so popular, like she has like the longest line than everyone. And like, so I do kind of like worry about the other girl sometimes. I'm just like, they're just kind of standing around while this girl has like the super long line of people waiting for her.
But and they're just looking, you know?
Yeah. But like, you know, and I see their interactions online, and like she comes off as very like, you know, I am for everybody. Like I am, you know, so I hope that she's like that, you know, like I'm always just like, I believe in my Oshi. Mm-hmm. I believe that she like believes and wants the best for everybody and is very kind and humble about it. But, you know, that's not always going to be the case in some groups. There's going to be someone who's more popular and then it's just like, I'm too good for you.
That's just life.
I think
like the older you get, and this is something I talk about a lot on my stream, where a while back somebody was asking me for advice in general. I'm like, I think the best advice you can have in life as you get older is just get okay with feeling bad feelings. Like it's okay to sometimes feel envious. It's okay to sometimes, but don't let that envy or that shame or things like that, like take you to a point where you are so upset and so frustrated, and it's all right. Frustrating if somebody has a really big lineup and you don't. I get it, but what can you do next year? What can you do better? What can you do differently? Some people, I do think so, I think some people are kind of have a star quality a little bit more. And I also think that different people have star quality in different environments. And I think this is something that, you know, if you look up my history a little bit, it's something that is a little bit obvious, where if I was in an environment where maybe I won't thrive, and then I'm in another environment, example, Vishoujo Twitch, I'm thriving. But I'm still the same person. It's just I'm now put in a different environment. And I also think certain people have their time to shine, and that's okay as well, right? And you just kind of, I think the sooner people get comfortable with not always being the star, not always being the center, not always being
right. We can't all be shining. The anime MC, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, but it is hard. And again, this is why I really love this quote by Charles Bukowski. Mm-hmm. He's an author, and he says, like, it was a poem. It's something like, life isn't hard, living with other people is. Right? Oh. Like, most our problems come from other people. Yeah, he really, this, oh my God, some of his poetry books,
quote of the year.
Oh my, he, like, no, some of his I looked up some of his poems with Chad, and he basically is like, oh, it's agony to, like, wake up in the morning and go to bed and stuff like that. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, we could do, oh my God, maybe the Patreon, I could read some of the.
What happened to you?
Hold on. No, I mean, alcoholism, lifelong. Okay. Oh, okay. TLDR on him. He tried to be an author, to write poetry for years. Mm-hmm. Kept getting rejected, kept getting everything. Mm. And then he just, you know, went to work at the factory, was getting drunk, married a woman, divorced a woman, kept getting drunk. She died, whatever. And then at like 40, he tried again and suddenly became this worldwide phenomenon. And then, you know, as he was famous and he got older, suddenly he was like, I'm getting older and they're just waiting for my downfall. They're waiting for me to get too drunk on stage. They're waiting for me to, you know, because he was kind of cynical and gotcha, so he's like, they're waiting for me to slip up there. And yeah, it was
such like a awful way to like live, though. Like, you can't just, you know, like, just hey, the living, like being like thinking, oh, you know, they're waiting for me to, you know, that's like, it's such a, that is a really cynical way of thinking. Like, that's very,
and strangely enough, like, I really like, you know, I got into him after my flesh father passed away, so I was like really looking up cynical media and things like that. And okay, I just opened one of the books. Let me just read you a really quick poem called Escape. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
The best part was pulling down the shades, stuffing the doorbell with rags, putting the phone in the refrigerator and going to bed for 3 or 4 days. And the next best part was nobody ever missed me.
Oh my God.
Bars, right?
Oh my God.
It's good.
It's good.
Okay. True. This is the name of this poem.
Okay.
Sorry. One of Lorca's best lines is, agony, always agony. Think of this when you kill a cockroach or pick up a razor to shave or awaken in the morning to face the sun.
Agony?
Agony, always agony.
Oh my God. What's wrong with shaving? Wow, this guy. You know what though? It reminds me, like, would you rather be, you know, unknown until and like fail so many times and then become popular later in your life? Or would you rather be so unknown and fail forever and become popular once you're dead?
Okay, that's,
you know, it's like Van Gogh.
I thought you were going to go differently. I thought you were going to say, do you want to become popular first and then blow up and then, obviously you want to be popular later and then savor your fame, no?
Yeah, but like, would you not feel like a little, like the way this guy does, where he's just like, you know, I didn't blow up until later and now they're waiting for me to mess up because in my past I did this and that,
well,
you know?
Okay, this guy is a little, this guy is a little, you know, he's like,
Maybe we shouldn't use him as the base.
Yeah. Okay. So he, you know, abusive household. I'm so happy I got successful later. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was properly emotionally, mentally equipped to handle, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, not to be like, oh my God, the downsides to popularity. But I'm very, obviously in the past, I was like, why can't this be me? Why is this not working? Why am I not here? But no, I'm so happy. I genuinely worry for anybody who gets popular before the age of 30. Ooh. I know that's like a hot take, but no, I think not a lot of people are equipped with like, I mean, we talked about this before the TikTok episode. I worry about like what TikToks do, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine like, you know, you argue with your parents or you do something at school and then you post a TikTok and it gets 5 million views. You feel unstoppable as a 16-year-old, and suddenly you're not learning life skills, you're not solving things with your parents because you're getting 5 million on TikTok.
I think it really depends on the person. I mean, because, you know, there will be adults that blow up on TikTok and they handle they're in high school. So, you know, it's really going to depend on the person and, you know, how they handle.
But more often than not, What did I say? More often than not. back to Idols. Sorry, I got distracted with Chuck Palahniuk. Sorry, Charles Bukowski.
No, you're just mixing up everybody.
It's because I was reading both of them at that time in my life because it was like, you know, I was really cynical. But this book that I was reading, it's called You Get So Alone at Times That It Just Makes Sense. And it is one of Charles Bukowski's poetry books.
Wow.
So,
The plug. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Idols. Oh, we were talking, well, I mean, it kind of led into it because we were talking about like, you know, what if someone in the group blows up?
Yeah, it's more.
Yeah, more popular.
I think realizing that. Okay, my biggest thing, I'm going to share this because I feel like, you know, we're pretty popular streamers and a lot of people listening are probably maybe thinking, why them, why not me? I think when I was in that stage where I wasn't a very popular streamer and I was looking at other streamers, it's just kind of realizing that sometimes the only difference is luck.
I was going to say that.
Marketing. Mm-hmm. But marketing is a big one. It's the way that, you know, your package or... Like, maybe that's just not, like, I'm sure that those idols that you saw that had no lineup, maybe if they were in a rock group or maybe if they were doing something a little bit, you know, more like folk or acoustic, sometimes you're just not in your right lane. Mm. That's it. Like, you are looking at somebody who is like an S++++. Like, you know, you're looking at somebody who is water damage against a fire boss and you're freaking grass and you're like, why can't I be doing more damage? Go to the ground lane. You're going to shine. Wow. I think that's the biggest thing is like realizing that everybody can be a star.
That's just such a good way
in their right lane.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. And I had something. My brain is, oh my gosh, today I'm like mid-sentence.
I know, we're
everything.
Still sick.
I know. My jet lag is still pretty bad. I woke up at 12 p.m. today.
Would you like a poem? Not a cynical one while you're thinking.
Okay, yeah.
Miracle. I've just listened to this symphony which Mozart dashed off in one day, and it had enough wild and crazy joy to last forever. Whatever forever is, Mozart came as close as possible to that. It's nice, right?
It is nice.
Not all of them are cynical, but some of them are like, hee hee.
Mozart.
Ooh, this one. Well, that's just the way it is. Sometimes when everything seems at its worst, when all conspires and gnaws and the hours, days, weeks, years seem wasted, stretched there upon my bed in the dark, looking upward at the ceiling, I get what many will consider an obnoxious thought. It's still nice to be Bukowski. Because his name is Charles Bukowski.
Oh.
So he's like, it's nice to be me. Even when everything sucks, even when life is so bad, even when shit is shit, sometimes he's like, you know what? I'm still me and that's okay.
It's that Undertale meme.
Despite everything, it's still you.
Despite everything, I'm glad I'm still me.
Let me help you get back on track because we're at where we have not much time left and I want to talk about a lot of stuff still.
Okay. Oh,
So I guess we were talking about the groups changing members and things like that.
Right.
How does it happen? Like, how do groups just disband suddenly and then get formed again?
I mean, well, that's like always up to the company, I suppose, the agency. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be a number of things. Like,
do you think sometimes they will relaunch? Like, they'll try to launch a group, and if it didn't get enough success, they'll just try to relaunch another group. Like, kind of getting that initial hype and boost makes it so much easier.
Like a different group or the group?
A different group, or maybe put the girls in different groups. Because restaurants do that a lot, where they'll like take over a location, open like a hot new restaurant, and then, you know,
that's
close
crazy.
It back. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think like, I mean, it really depends on like why a group is, you know, not doing well, or it could be like there's agencies that have more star power than others. And that's just
of course.
The fact of the entertainment world. So it's like, if you debut under this agency, they have had so many other popular groups and things like that.
Of course.
It's a lot.
It's like that everywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like that everywhere. And it also is a lot of luck. It's so much like...
so much luck.
Sometimes there will be a group that blows up and I'm like, how? Where did they come from? Why did they blow up? What happened? And like
And timing, right? Like if your concept, like Finger Runs, if they did their concept a few years earlier...
Yeah, right? They could have been huge.
How much could that have been more? And we say that, but like maybe they're going to get huge next year.
Yeah, I think, no, I think they are definitely on the rise. I think they're going to get even bigger. Like, I mean, they're
good.
Like I say, they're only 2 years old. Like 2 years old is
nothing.
It's very short.
It's actually closer to a year and a half, to
be
honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's like very short. And like, but at the same time, the lifespan of an idol is like, can vary for so much. Like some idol groups last only 2 years and, you know, and some idols only last 2 years. It really depends on like, the best part or like the best way to stay successful, I would say, is keeping members, which can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, also luck.
Because they work hard. By the way, like those shows were tough.
They are.
And then before that, you got to get ready. After that, you got to get ready. You got to rehearse. And, you know, if 100 people come to the show costs $20. Okay, sure. That's, you know, $2,000. But that's split between how many people?
I know, right?
It's so many people. Because there was four groups there.
Four groups and like five members at least in each one, mm-hmm. five or six.
And then
like,
managers, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
and then the venue might take a cut of, hey, sometimes the venue will say you can play, especially the smaller ones. Mm. Sometimes they're like, you can play for free as long as, you know, we get to sell drinks. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the venue has a price.
That's typically what the drink cost is. Because you pay for
the
ticket.
300 yen, yeah, that we came in with.
The 600 yen.
Oh, 600, sorry.
Yeah, the 600 yen. It used to be 500 and went up to 600 now for most
venues. Hey.
But I get it. They gotta, especially after COVID, a lot of venues are having to do catch up, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really a lot of luck. And, you know, I think now, especially, like I said, lots of groups are blowing up on TikTok. Like I said, Fruit Zipper is huge.
Marketing. It's,
Yeah, it's marketing and just...
That's actually, sorry to before, like that was a really big reason that BTS blew up in Korea because BTS was from a small company. They were not one of the big three companies and they weren't taken seriously ever at shows anywhere, but they started doing YouTube. They were doing YouTube videos. They were doing live streams. I don't know the website they were doing live streams on, but they were doing... lives.
I had no
and
idea.
They amassed a huge fan base that way. And that's how they like became so big. And they were also doing a lot of their songs like towards English because they had a member who spoke English and they gained an international audience. And then they also grew back home through it.
Wow. I had no
but
idea.
Yeah, I think like marketing, social media and marketing has been big. How many people do you know that also streamers blow up from social media, things like that?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like just like a VTuber getting that one clip. That like,
yeah, going viral.
That goes viral. It's the same thing.
I mean, my pal, I want you to meet her, Limalicious. She, you know, she was successful. She was doing good. I think she was averaging something, she said, like 600, 800 viewers.
Oh, that's good.
But now, a few, you know, a year later, she's averaging 2,000. Mm-hmm. But mainly it was her TikTok, her YouTube shorts.
Yeah.
She was talking about RimWorld and things like, you actually sent me a short of her because you were saying her rigging was amazing.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Looks, I was like, that's my friend.
I was like, she looks so good. She's so cute. And you were like, I know
she
her.
Really is. She's also 4'11", by the way.
Oh my God. Copycat.
And our emote, Mintara Kiss, one of my viewers edited it for her hair. So sometimes I'll have a Lime Tara Kiss. So.
Oh, I prefer that actually. Can we stop the Mintara Kiss and we can only do the Lime Tara Kiss?
I have a few final questions about, you said like luck. I have two more questions.
Okay,
so
okay.
Well, you said luck is such a big factor in everything.
Yeah.
What percentage of groups do you think make it big?
Oof. I think it's probably similar to like, you know how on Twitch they say it's like 2% or something.
Yeah.
I think it's probably.
And then some groups make it huge, but then some groups it's like, it's livable. It's like just above livable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's probably very similar. Like there's, especially when you factor in like the teeniest, tiniest groups that are out there. Like if I'm factoring in like a soloist idol, like, you know, everything like that. It's probably like 2% of groups that get so
we
big.
Have a friend that, talked. I will keep her anonymous just in case but I know she's talked about it before where she said that when she was an idol many, many years ago, she would perform to three people, five people in a room. Mm-hmm. She would be in her group and there's just five people there and you're performing and you have a smile. And some of those people, you know, maybe they don't like you. Maybe you're not their favorite and you're just performing and you're doing your best.
Yeah, pretty much. It was the same for me when I did a little bit of idol activities back in my day. And I was a solo idol and it was the exact same where it would be like, but I would perform like with other acts that were maybe like somewhat more known in the underground scene. So, but a lot of people just came for them. And when I was selling goods afterwards, I would get one person, two people, and I would be like, oh my gosh, I sold a checkie today.
Yeah, you sold something.
Oh my gosh, someone.
You got a new fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I even made t-shirts and everything. Like I don't laugh. but
for anybody, it's because I own a t-shirt.
Yeah, she does. She
that's why I laughed.
She got one of my t-shirts, you guys. It's so embarrassing.
Unfortunately, you did tell me I can never wear it out, so I won't.
You can't, no. But it's a good sleep shirt. It's really soft.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah, it's very soft.
Thank you.
What do you mean, thank you? I'm not talking about you. Oh my God, I had such a visceral reaction. Oh my God, we're both
calling. My last question that I thought was important before, but we can like end on it.
Okay.
So everybody has a pen light color and things like that. Mm-hmm. And typically I thought you just picked your color with your favorite. So for example, Matara, if ever I'm at a concert, it would be pinkish purple or, you know, pinkish. But in Japan, the colors actually have a typecasting
to
them. And they usually have a meaning. Like you said, that red is typically the singer of the group and things like that. Could we talk about those?
Okay, red is typically like the leader front-facing person. Mm. They are like, or rather not the leader, but like the front-facing person.
The front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like the one in the center. The center is the better way to say it.
The center, yeah.
Yeah. It is funny.
You said the blue is also like usually a typecasting.
Yes, because I told you about this too. I was like, because of Ano from Yuru Metamore, there's so many girls that are now blue hair or not, they're blue color with a short black haired bob. Like it is like the, if it is an alt idol or like any kind of alt idol variation, like their blue member is most likely with a short black bob and I eat it up every time. I love them. Oh yes, give me every bob girl in the world.
And they'll usually have like like the short bob and then they'll have like one ponytail or two ponytails.
Yeah. Hair is so important to idols. Like I remember there was one time a girl in Denpagumi, her name is Pinky. Mm-hmm. She used to have like twin tails that she would do and they would be in braids, like braided twin tails. And she, one day, without informing anybody, she cut all her hair off. She went to like pixie cut, basically. It was very short.
Oh my God.
And I remember it was drama because one of the other members of the group was just like, you have an image that, you know, and like they try to maintain a balance in like the groups where it's just like one girl will have the short hair, one girl will have the dyed hair, one girl will have be ponytail, one girl, you know.
Same thing in K-pop. You have the mysterious member, you have the extroverted member, you have the shy, you have the,
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so she was like really mad. She was just like, you threw off the balance because you didn't tell anybody that you were going to do this and you just did it on your own. And it was like drama. But
you know what? At first when you started saying this, I was like, oh, how? But then I get it, especially if like you guys have typecasting, you guys have personas. If you are now impeding on my persona, like you could be taken from my fans and things like that. Like fans that I have built. I can kind of get it.
I don't know if it's more such of that, but I think it's more such of a branding thing. Like, for example, like if I were to suddenly be blonde tomorrow, like I would not look like myself. You know, like it would be really jarring. And so I think it's more so of that where it's just like I'm, you know, the girl that got mad at her was always like she also had short hair. So maybe she felt like that people would be moving to her, but they were completely different personalities.
Never mind then.
So I think it was like, but she was always like a golden short bob. Like it was always like she looked like a coconut, but that was her hairstyle all the time. And every other girl in the group as well always had the same hairstyle. And then the one girl just decided chopping it off. And, you know, it's probably less strict nowadays. And that was probably like a, hey, why'd you do this? But you know, yeah, you have the red members that are going to be your centers. The blue are kind of like, it's sometimes cool, but like they're, I don't know, it's hard to describe.
I noticed the other blue member in the other group, they tended to be like shy, but good dancer.
Yeah, they tended
to be taller as well, but I don't know. Anno isn't that tall, so I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's not always like, it's not always typecast to a T.
Yeah. I've noticed YOLO was like kind of peppy.
Yeah. Yellow is peppy. Green is like Onee-san type usually. Like,
oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think.
You're not very Onee-san.
No. Am I?
No.
When people call me a hag, though.
You're the wrong. Yeah, you're a hag, but you're not Onee-san. You typecast yourself wrong.
I typecast myself wrong. I got to change my name. I can't be Mint anymore.
What is pink or purple?
Pink is like cutesy. So you also typecast yourself wrong.
Yeah, I'm so cute. Shut up. I'm so cute. But purple is kind of Ojo-sama and royal, right?
I think so. I can't quite remember.
So I'm kind. I'm both cute and regal.
Oh, sure. Yep.
What? That is me. Are you kidding me? I am cute.
Oh my God.
I am classy. I am stylish.
I am cute.
I am cute and I am classy, damn it.
I can't remember what purple is. If anybody else can remember what it is. I'm going to look up idol purple.
It feels
color.
Very like royal Ojo-sama, but I only saw one of the girls be purple.
Oh, I'm looking. If I look that up, I only see K-pop. But, you know, it's not always to a T, like I said.
Yeah,
sometimes it's, you know, going to be different, and that's cool too. But, yeah, it is funny that, like, you know, if you see a certain member color, like, that's why I always typically go for blue girls, because they're always typically the same way. And so I'm like, I know kind of what I'm getting if I go for a blue girl.
That is so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's funny because with Matara, I really was kind of thinking like a deeper maroon, black, purple.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted something, because I also really love pink. And you know this because we went to Japan. Like, I also love pink fuzzy things,
yes,
right? Like,
you
I'm very cutesy. And so, yeah.
I think your coloring is very, like, it's so flashy, which also fits you. Because you're a very bright pink.
I'm flashy.
You're like, bah, in your face.
But you know what it is, right? Predators. I am... As a predator, I am so flashy. So when you see white and pink, you think, oh my God, she's so sweet. She's so cute. And then I eat ya.
She's going to grab ya. She's going to devour you.
I want to grab you. I'm going to eat ya.
But yeah, hopefully.
Thank you for recording with me today, Mint.
Yeah. Hopefully this gives listeners a little bit more of an insight. Do you feel like you have more of an insight on idols as well?
Definitely. It's really, really fascinating. And like I said, I definitely want to go. Sorry. I want to go to more shows.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you want to go to another show with me?
I would love to. I really, really like it. And I won't be on my phone. And I did wear the new shoes that I bought, which they were comfy, but they weren't as comfy as worn-in shoes.
Yeah.
Because by the way, you're standing the whole time.
You are.
Which is kind of the same in North America, like small shows. You're standing the whole time, baby.
Yeah, pretty much. But
anything you would like to add? Oh, sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no. I was going to say, there's some venues that like have seating. I mean, obviously the big concert venues, you can do standing or seating.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's some venues where it's just like tables and stuff, you know? But I get it.
How, to end you with this, and then I guess we can talk about this more in the Patreon.
Yeah.
How does it feel when you come to the live show and the group recognizes you?
Oh my God. It's the...
Like, I remember the manager recognized you and then the girls recognized you and...
I know. It's like the best feeling. I don't know. Because I guess for me, it's like a special case because they know that I cannot see them all the time. So like I get a bit of a different reaction where it's like, or rather than like being like, oh, you're regular. But when they see me, they're like, oh, it's Mint. Oh my God.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, but it does feel really good. Because there was one time actually when I went to a show, of a group that is now disbanded, but I still love them so much to this day. They were like one of my favorite groups ever, and I still think about them. It kind of was like them disbanding was like the start of me kind of falling out of idols because I was so into them. Mm-hmm. But it was during the sales time, the Bupan. And I was kind of like crouching in a corner because I was on my phone waiting for my turn to like go up and get my pictures and everything. And my favorite member saw me from across the room and she ran over to me and she like tapped me on my shoulder and she was like, "Hey, I'm watching you." And like, it was like, just said something really cute and like, then just ran away back to doing her work. And I was like, "My Yoshi loves me." It was so sweet. I think about that interaction all the time. And, you know, being an idol fan, I think, has made me want to be a better streamer because, you know, I know those interactions and I know how much I cherish them and love them. And I'm like, if I have any fans, I would want them to also have a similar, you know, feeling like, you know, with an interaction with me and being like, "Oh my gosh. She doesn't hate us."
That was one thing I kept telling you during the show. I kept okay, this is another reason why I was on my phone, is because I was writing messages for you to read.
You would like tap me on the shoulder and be like, "Yeah," because
I didn't
want to
talk
good.
Right. I'd be like, "Oh, this girl was really good," or like, "I like this member in this group," I get why this is your Oshi. But one of the things I kept writing was, we don't work hard enough.
I know.
They work so hard. It was so humbling to see how hard they work, how much they're smiling, how, wow.
I know, they're such hard idols. Like, people kind of like, you know, make fun of the whole culture and make fun of a lot of stuff because there is stuff to make fun of. It's not a perfect world.
Yeah,
and I'm,
you
know, I understand that, but gosh, do these girls work really, really hard. And it really does show. I love them.
All right, Mint. Thank you for another lovely episode. If you have any questions, if you are getting into some of the groups we talked about, if you have any idol stories, if you have any shows you recommend, you know,
yeah,
going
recommend
to,
your
Oshi, let us know.
Recommend your, well, actually, don't do that because anytime people recommend their groups to me, the group disbands. So,
oh, don't recommend your group
I'm
to Mint.
I'm cursed in that regard. So don't recommend your groups to us.
And for, you know, our more kind of normie audience, you know, the rock and rollers, who's your muse Oshi? You know, is your Nine Inch Nails Oshi the same as mine? It's
so
only
funny
one guy.
You say muse Oshi because that's, you know, Love Life muse.
Muse, yeah. I do love Love Life as well.
Oh, yeah, who is your muse
Oshi? No, my favorite subunit was BB.
Oh, yeah, BB.
I love them. I love them so much.
We're just going to cry over idols now.
I know. All right, everybody.
Thank you, patrons. With this,
we want to thank you.
Thank you.
I guess we can say it really quickly.
We can.
We'll also say it on the Patreon.
Yes.
We know that there's been a few of your postcards got damaged. A lot of your postcards got damaged.
I think it's all of them.
No, I think like not all of them. But anyway, we are fixing it. Don't worry. We'll let you know.
Yep.
More info.
Later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
You so much.
Thank you.
What's the word this time? What word do you want to say? Idol?
No.
No, I want to be unique. I want to be original.
Fine then. Idol.
Checky.
Oh. Well, also
checky you out.
I wanted to also say if we made any errors in our information because we're just thinking of things off the top of our heads and not doing, if we could
sue us.
We could have
un-Oshi us. We're criminals for that.
Don't unsubscribe. You can sue us though. Just don't unsubscribe.
yeah. Don't unsubscribe, but sue us. Yeah, you know, we're doing this off the top of our head.
But yeah, if you can correct us in the comments. No, you can be like, "Oh, you said this. But actually it was this," and I'll be like, "Oh, you're right. I completely forgot," or "I didn't know." You know, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect, especially not Matara. She's not perfect.
I got a lot of flaws. So it's fine. I am who I am. What could be the special word? Red.
What are we like this? We're just like,
we can't even think of a word.
Red.
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 I was going to say poetry, because that would be so like off.
Poetry.
The, you know? Poetry.
That's a good callback to the middle of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Poetry. Let's do poetry.
Poetry, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, bye.
We love you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for the patrons. Thank we you. Love you. And love also you. Everybody else, not just the patrons, but it's just that right now we were showing the patron names on screen.
Oh.
We love all of our listeners.
I was thinking like patrons as in like, I'm a patron of the arts.
Yeah, that's exactly, okay. You are all patrons of the arts if you listen.
Yeah, you are all patrons of the arts.
You are watching me sculpt a naked man out of marble.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.